This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Luke chapter 14, 25 through 35. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make a war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Amen. Somebody put your hands together and just bless Jesus this morning. Amen. The Lord is good, and he is worthy of all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. We thank God for Brother Dwayne and Brother Speedy leading us today in worship and our worship team. We thank God for them. Amen. We're excited about being in the house of the Lord one more time. I'm just stuck on he's the rock of my salvation. You know, we cannot talk about that enough. Amen. Just thanking God. Don't you realize that we don't deserve to be saved, but the scripture says that we are saved by grace through faith. Not that any of us should boast, but it is a gift from God. And yet when you get that in your heart, realizing that you were doomed for damnation, you were set up for hell. But the reality is that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins. And even if you have done something wrong this week, all you have to do is say you're sorry, and God shall wipe all your sins away. You are forgiven. That's a word from heaven this morning, that you are forgiven. You don't have to wallow in your sin. You don't have to be digging up graves in your guilt, but you can start thanking God right now just because he's the rock of your salvation. Somebody ought to give God praise for that this morning. Oh, he is the rock of our salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today, God, for allowing us to come and learn about your word. We give you praise and all the glory today. Now consecrate me now for thy service, Lord. By the power of grace divine, may my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Amen. I'm not going to go through all the announcements today, but one announcement real quickly for those of you who don't have anything to do this afternoon at 3:30, I'll be speaking at the Mount Olive Holy Church, which is over on Broad and Master, or it's like one block north of that, right in that shopping center, church with the slant. Most of you probably know where it is, but it's at 3:30. Come on over and hang out with me, and we're just going to bless that church and be a blessing to them for their men's day. So all the men, amen, especially want to make sure all the men, if you want to have something to do, come on over and we can have a good time in the Lord over there for watch number two. Can somebody say amen? Thank God for our sister reading the scripture this morning. We want to focus in on the 34th and the 35th verse of Luke, the 14th chapter. Again, Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 34 and 35. It says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? and is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that have ears, let him hear. Let's read that one more time. Verse 34 says, salt is good, but if salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that have ears, let him hear. Amen. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, have you lost your purpose? Get the other neighbor, make sure they understand the message this morning, and say, neighbor, have you lost your purpose? You know, here at Chosen 300, if you've never been here during the week, I think we just really had the best meal in town. Matter of fact, on last night, if you weren't on the parkway, they just had some barbecue chicken that was out of this world. And, you know, I've come to the point now I can almost close my eyes, and by two things I can tell which church is here: by the way the worship is carried out, but also how the chicken is seasoned. I can tell whether it's one of my predominantly conservative churches or whether it's one of my churches from the hood. And I can tell by the way that they season the meat. The most important thing in the meal itself is the meat, and the way that it's seasoned can make or break the meal. You know, there's a story when I was in high school, and I was wondering when this Shakespeare stuff was going to pay off, and I was thinking about this old English folk tale about Cap O'Rushes, and the story reads like this. Just want to read a portion of it. It says, well, there once was a very rich gentleman, and he had three daughters, and he thought to see how fond they was of him. So he says to the first, how much do you love me, my dear? Why, she says, as I love my life. That's good, says he. So he says to the second, how much do you love me, my dear? Why, she says, better nor all the world. That's good, says he. So he says to the third, how much do you love me, my dear? Why, she says, I love you as fresh meat loves salt, says she. Well, he was very angry. You don't love me at all, he says. And in my house, you stay no more. So he drove her out and there and then and shut the door in her face. Well, the story goes on is that as she was put out, she wound up desiring to be a maid at a very great house where there was another rich man. And the story continues on where she wound up being the maid, and she cleaned the pots, and she did this, and she did that. Well, there was a time that came that there was a great celebration, and it was 3 days of dances. And she told all the other maids that, I'm not going. I'm going to just stay here in the bed. But after they left out, she got out of her robe and got in her fine dress that she already had, and she went to the dance. And the master's son of that other house saw her and was very fond of her. And they decided later on that they would get married. Well, the wedding came about and there was a great reception. But the daughter had one request: don't put any salt on the meat. Don't put any salt on the meat. And they invited the entire village. And the daughter's father came to the wedding. He did not know it was her daughter because he had put her out of her life, put her out of the house. But there was no salt on the meat. And the story goes on that as the reception came around and they served the food, the man the father of the daughter, started crying. And everybody was wondering why he was crying. They knew that the meat didn't taste good, but he started crying. He says, now I understand what my daughter was talking about, of that she loved me more than meat loves salt. It's necessary for a certain type of seasoning to be upon the meat. Somebody going to get this in a second. All of us are the salt of the earth. Jesus Christ, if he saved you and come into your life, Jesus is saying that you are the salt of the earth. That means you season the earth by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to every creature, letting them know that there is a Savior. You are the salt of the earth. But there often come times in our Christian walk that we lose our Savior. And what that means is that the salt becomes bland, and even if you put it on the meat, it really has no effect and provides no seasoning for the meat, and therefore the meat still tastes nasty. And what the Word of God is saying here in this 34th verse is that salt is good, but if it's lost its Savior, wherewith shall it be seasoned? What purpose has it but it's simply cast away? Today we want to challenge you that have you lost your Savior? Have you lost your purpose of what God has commanded for your life as a Christian? Can somebody say amen? We're going to be very brief this morning, but there are three things that we can talk about today that can cause you to lose your Savior and focus on the cause of Christ. In our text, when you read Luke, the 14th chapter, and you start from the first down through the 22nd verse, Jesus is in the house of the Pharisees. He's in the house of one of the Pharisees, and he's talking to the Pharisees about who that we need to reach out to. Now, everybody needs Jesus, whether you're rich or poor, but I'm convinced that the church needs to have a purpose and a focus to make sure that we don't neglect those that everybody else neglects. I believe that the church ought to be the place where everybody can come. Dr. Alan Waller of the Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church has a wonderful song that this must be the place where the broken heart can come. This ought to be the place where hearts can be mended, where lives can be changed. If there's any other place where it ought to be, the church must be the place. And here in the 14th chapter, Jesus is telling them, don't invite the rich people. Don't invite your friends that can provide recompense, but invite those who may not can't pay you back. Invite those who might not can be an immediate benefit to you. Invite those who might be struggling or going through. That's the people who I want you to invite. And it's not saying that rich people can't come. We want them to come because we need somebody to pay for this. But I understand that it is necessity that we go out and invite everybody to come to Jesus. Matter of fact, in the 23rd verse of that 14th chapter, he says, look, if nobody else won't come, go into the highway and into the hedges and compel them. That means do whatever is necessary to get people into the house of God, that their lives might be changed, that they might receive the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that they might receive the rock and the strength of their salvation. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. The church is about to be the place where people are welcome to come, that their lives might be changed. But once we are changed, once we come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we often stray away from our purpose. The purpose that we are here is to reach people for Jesus. But here in our text, starting with Luke, the 14th chapter, round about verse 36, it talks about, 26, it talks about three things that can cause us to lose our Savior and lose our focus on the cause of Christ. The first thing is found in verse 26. It says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife, his children and his brethren, his sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. I want to repeat that. If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, and his brother and his sisters, yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. The first thing that can cause you to lose your Savior or cause you to lose your focus on the cause of Christ is not making Christ the first priority in your life. Now, in this text, it says some very strong words, and it almost seems contradiction to what Christ really teaches us to do. He says, love your enemies. Be good to them that despitefully use you. He's saying, it also says that if you be honor your mother and your father, your days shall be long. It says to love your brother and do good to them. It talks about all these things about love, but here in this 26th verse, it's talking about hate your brother. Hate your mother, hate your father, hate even your own life. But what is Jesus talking about? He's not saying in the literal sense to hate you, but what he's saying is to put me first. Stop putting everybody else before God. Stop putting your mother before God. Stop putting your children before God. Stop putting your friends before God. A lot of times we say, well, I can't come to church because I need to do this for my friend. I can't do this because my mother is this. I can't do this because my father is this. You have to understand the first priority in your life ought to be God. Matter of fact, if you want the answer of how to get your needs provided, if you want the answer of how to get your place, how to get your food, how to get your clothes, the answer's in the text. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, all these things shall be added unto you. And if you delight yourself also in the Lord, not only will he give you the needs, he'll give you the very desires of your heart. But you got to put God first. Somebody say, put God first. I mean that today. Don't stop looking at your own self. Stop looking at your friends. Stop looking at your family. But put God first. If you put God first, things will come in line for your life. There's three things. We ain't going to be long today, but there's a word. There's three things that causes us to lose our savor and causes us to have a non-effect in the cause of Christ or the purpose that God has for our life. The second thing is found in verses 27 through 32. It says, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, and that, behold, it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, let's stop there at verse 32. Unless you are willing to pay the cost, you can't be his disciple. It will cause you to lose focus. The second thing is not willing to suffer or pay the cost of coming to Christ. Let me make something clear. The gift of salvation is freely given to you. And we talked about this last week when dealing with the afflictions of this life, is that the afflictions of this life or the cares of this life do not belong to us, but we release them to God. And last week, we did the throwing up the God thing where we say, God, here's my trials, here's my tribulations of my life. But in exchange for that, there is a cross to bear, and the cross that you are bearing is the persecution for being part of the household of faith. The scripture says in Matthew 5, it says, blessed is he who is persecuted for righteousness' sake. You have to understand that when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, you are falling in the will of God because of the fact that people are not going to like you because you love Jesus. It is not because of the fact that your skin color is different. It's not because of the fact whether you're rich or poor or indifferent. It is because of the fact that you love Jesus. The worst thing that you can ever be to somebody else is start to proclaiming that you love Jesus, because people don't understand who we are. We're weird. You know, when I was growing up, I was a big nerd in school, and my wife still thinks I'm a big nerd, but that's what makes me who I am. I'm kind of quirky. But when you decide to come to Jesus, I want to let you know, people going to think you weird. You're weird. Matter of fact, the scripture says it like this, that you are a chosen generation, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. What peculiar means is that you're weird. You a goofball. You off your rockers. You lost your mind. You loco. All right? That's what it means to be a Christian. Because of the fact we do not operate by logical standards, well, our standard is found in the Word of God. It says, love them that hate you. That's not the world's order. It says, be good to them that despitefully use you. That's not logical behavior. It's saying, bless them that curse you. Somebody's walking up to you, getting all up in your grill, talking about you nothing. You are nobody. And you're talking about, oh, God bless you. May the Lord's blessings be upon you. Weird. You're weird. But that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be weird. We're supposed to be a peculiar people that doesn't act like everybody else. We're supposed to have the love of Christ to the degree that the same way Christ loved us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that he died for us while we were yet sinners. We are to reciprocate that same love and extend it to every creature, that even when people talk about us, even when people do wrong against us, even when people treat us any kind of way, we ought to say up to him, I know you're talking about me, but God bless you. I know you don't like me in the back of my mind, but the Lord's blessings be upon you, that I still love you. I know you don't like me, but that's all right. I still love you. How can I bless you? Not only am I going to give you my jacket, but I'm going to take my cloak off and give that to you as well. I'm just going to bless you to the point where hot coals are literally falling upon your head because you don't understand how good I am to you. You're weird. You know, when we were at our last house, I had one of the worst neighbors in the world. This neighbor was just bad. I mean, when the fall came around in our township, all you had to do is blow the leaves to the curb and a big vacuum came by and picked them up once a week. This neighbor blew the leaves from his property to my property because they came from my tree. I mean, he was just the nastiest person you ever want to live next to. So wintertime came along, and I got up early in the morning when the snow came, and I plowed my sidewalk and plowed his. I mean, it just ate him up alive. He just was mad because somebody was nice to him. And all you got to do, you want to get back at somebody for being mean to you, just start blessing them. Just say, man, I like the way you, man, I like your new haircut. Man, I like what you do. I'm so proud of you. Man, the blessings of the Lord be upon you. They'll be like, something wrong with that dude. Matter of fact, they won't mess with you because they're going to think you're crazy. And you are, you're weird, you're just in love with Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. There's three things that can cause you to lose your Savior. The first one is not making Christ the first priority in your life. The second thing is not willing to suffer or pay the cost of coming to Christ. The third thing is found in verse 33. Verse 33, it says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. All that he hath. I know some of you are saying, well, God, I don't have much. I mean, now you want it all. I mean, just doesn't sound fair. It doesn't sound right. What do you mean that you want it all? What Christ is saying to you, he's not telling you to give away everything. What he's saying is to use everything for his purpose. You know, a couple weeks ago, my car got dented, and I didn't like it. I was kind of mad at the thing, and one of my directors came to me, and he made me realize something. He said to me, that's not your car. That's the Lord's car. And he's right, because it's just on loan to me. It's on loan to me. And everything that I do with that car are to do for his purpose. Yes, I enjoy driving around. I thank God for what he's given me, and I want all of you to have everything that I have. But I want to let you know that that's God's car out there. My house that I have, God's blessed me with, and I thank God, but it's for his house, and it's to be used for his purpose. Everything that I have in my life, my will, when I get up in the morning to get dressed, I ought to get dressed saying these clothes are for his purpose. When I brush my teeth in the morning, I ought to say, thank you, God, for allowing me to do this, because this is for your purpose, so I don't offend nobody today when I'm talking to them. You have to understand that everything that you have, you ought to surrender unto him and say, God, everything that I have, everything that I am, and all that I will shall be for your purpose. When you have got to the point where you have laid down your life and say, God, all to Jesus, I surrender all to him, I freely give, I will ever in love and trust him in his daily presence give, I surrender all. And that's what he's talking about, is that every area of your life, surrender it all unto him. Everything that you have. Everything that you own, it ought to be for his purpose. God, how can I bless somebody else? It's not saying not take care of your own life. It's saying don't let your own life be your only priority. Some of us live in a world that's based on three people, me, myself, and I. But when you have taken care of yourself, is there any room in your life to bless somebody else? Is there any room in your life to make sure that you are doing something for the kingdom of God? We were talking a lot of times, we help people out here. We help them find jobs. But after we find jobs, we don't see them no more. We don't see them. They get a job and they work in 70 hours a week and they forget about Jesus. When you put all your time into a job, all your time into in your own life and not put your focus on God at any time, you are not surrendering all to Him, because the job that I have, you have to realize God gave it to you. He gave you life. He gave you strength. He gave you health. He gave you ability. God provided for you, and you ought to invest some time, some talent, and some treasure in the kingdom of God. And as you invest that time, that talent, and treasure in the kingdom of God, God sees that you're using what He's given you, and He can trust you with what He's given you, and He'll bless you with so much more. Have you lost your Savior? Have you lost your purpose? You know, when you lose your Savior, you lose what God has for you in your life, and you no longer become effective. And Jesus says it this way, that you can no longer be my disciple. You know, it's very interesting as you continue on in this chapter, in the very last verse, it says, neither fit for the land. This is talking about the salt that you are because you lost your savor. Neither for the dunghill, but man cast it out, and he that have an ear, let him hear. You know, it's really interesting. I didn't look at this before, but if you look at the first verse of the 15th chapter, listen what happens. After Jesus said all of this, after he says, look, you can't be my disciple unless you're willing to make me your first priority. You can't be my disciple unless you're willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. You can't be my disciple unless you give up everything for the cause of Christ. Verse 15, it says, then drew near unto him the publicans and the sinners to hear him. The church people weren't interested in suffering. They weren't interested in giving up everything, and they were not interested in making Christ their first priority. Who came to hear him was the publicans and the sinners. Jesus wants to know today, are you willing to be his disciple? Are you willing to follow him and not lose your savor? But you will be called for the purpose that he has for your life, that you will carry out the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, that you would be salt that is seasoned to the meat of this world, that their lives might be changed. Somebody put your hands together for God's word today.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world, to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you.